My name's Steve, and I work for a charity called Birmingham City Mission. So I think the vast majority of you might know them in some capacity, maybe not so the lads. What I do, in the daytime, I work for a project that's kind of getting the guys off the street or sorting themselves out when they're off the street. So we sort them out with furniture. So that's quite a big operation. We setting them up for the first time when they come off the street or out of hostels and that sort of thing. Big food bank, big clothing bank. And in the evening time, I work for another homeless project. And that's kind of where we get the guys in and we feed them. But how did I end up doing that, really? That is not my background at all. So I'm going to tell you a little about where I came from and those bits and pieces and how on earth I ended up as a Christian doing homeless work, because I'm the last person you'd ever expect. So I'll tell you a little bit about my story. So I grew up, bizarrely, actually, I was raised for the first few years in Africa, as you can tell. My family worked for Dunlop, and they were in Africa from sort of late 60s onwards. It was a massive employer in Birmingham, and the opportunity was to go out there. So they went out late 60s, lived in Zambia, and then my sister was born in Zambia, went to Nigeria, and I lived my first sort of, I think, 5 or 6 years in Zambia. And then they came back home. Sister was reaching secondary school age, didn't want to send her to boarding school, so came back home and lived in Sutton Coldfield. So nice part of Birmingham over the other side. And I was raised there. I didn't want for anything. I wasn't spoiled, but, you know, I didn't need anything. I didn't want anything. We lived in a nice house, pretty comfortable life. And then parents got divorced. When I was about 14 years old, sister's a bit older, she was 20, 21 at the time. Not uncommon, parents split up, you know, it happens all the time, we know this. Be a bit bad to say I was from a broken home, but, you know, parents divorced, dad was living away at the time, so there was no contact, so, you know, difficult, and mom struggled financially, so life changed quite dramatically. So when I became 14, from kind of not wanting or needing anything, life was a bit of a struggle, you know, seeing mom struggle. I had to do a lot of growing up quite quickly at 14 years old, and went through my years at school, did okay. Didn't try too hard, but always did okay with grades. I was sporty again, as you can tell. So football, golf, cricket, rugby. I was at Warsaw when I was sort of 16, 17 years old. Never made it, but you know, I played a good standard of all those sort of sports, and did well. And then went to uni, stayed at home when I was at uni. I went to Birmingham Uni. Mum was still struggling a little bit, so I stayed at home in order to sort of get a part-time job to carry on working and do uni at the same time in order to sort of help her at the same time as well. So I think financially going away for uni didn't quite work, and then go and find a job. So I went into the world of recruitment, having this discussion with someone earlier, and recruitment's quite a sort of cutthroat industry, a real sort of sales-orientated industry. I was good at it. I did quite well. I was quite successful in terms of finances, but I think that's when everything kind of started to go wrong for me. I didn't rebel in my teenage years, if that makes sense. I didn't have the need to. Far from it, I had to do quite the opposite. I had to take the man's role in some capacity. I had to sort of look after my mum. When I got to my 20s with a bit of money in my pocket, I was a nightmare. And I really was, really. And I think you can look back and you can kind of look at these things and why you do certain things and whatever else. But I was awful. Clubbing every weekend, doing the things you shouldn't really be doing. My 20s were a really sort of hollow, selfish existence. I wasn't purposely a bad person. If I look back, I don't think I've ever been horrible. Never intended to be horrible. Stupid. Just stupid. Just a series of bad, selfish, stupid decisions along the way. And some of which are quite embarrassing, quite shameful. And that's pretty much how a lot of my 20s were spent. So I thought, well, you know what? Let's try again. Got to 30 years old, and we've always had, in recruitment, you get this magazine, and at the back of it, it's got pictures of sandy beaches. It says, come to Australia, come and do recruitment. So I thought, okay, let's do that. So had a little bit of money, and I thought, you know what, I'll go and do this. I'll start a new life in Australia, 30 years old. and it's kind of the last time you can really easily get over there. Went to Australia. I lived exactly the same sort of life as I was living in my 20s here, over there. Met the same sort of lads, was doing the same sort of thing, just in a hotter country. Completely wasted it. I was still doing recruitment, still doing quite well. I was doing it in a different field. I was sending guys to the offshore oil rigs that were earning an absolute fortune. I was earning an absolute fortune. And I was drinking it away and doing silly things at the weekend, as I was doing here. I wasted the opportunity of that new life. And this was all starting to hit me quite hard. This was all starting to impact me quite a lot. My visa was kind of coming to an end, so I made the decision to come back, thinking that, well, you know what, I can go and start again somewhere else, or I can go back to Australia, or I can do, you know, many different things. Got back home, started working for an old employer. Depression hit me like a ton of bricks. I think everything I'd done, everything I'd been through in my 20s, everything I'd done in Australia, the wasted opportunity, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And it's really hard to explain unless you've been there. My life absolutely collapsed. And I went tumbling downhill. Everything caught up. And it's you know, it's one of the realities of life. Male depression is a real massive thing. I gave up. And I took the genuine decision. So I lost contact purposely with friends and family. Quit my job, let the lease run down at my flat, closed bank accounts, got rid of every personal possession I owned, and took the decision to take my own life. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? So for all the things I'm good at, I'm not good at that, I'm still here. that clearly didn't work. It's important for me to talk about it openly. It is, you know, especially with the lads here, it is something that happens in celebrity lifestyle. It is something that's happening out there. Male suicide, it's the biggest killer of blokes. Under 50, I think, you know, quite an open statistic. It's out there, it exists, so, and it happens, and we don't go and seek the support. We, you know, we're too proud of that, aren't we? But that's what I did. I woke up in hospital a day or two later, broken mentally, broken physically, and then reality hit in. I haven't got anything else. So I've got the clothes on my back, which are you know, torn and dusty and whatever else. I've lost contact with friends and family. Can I really go back to them? Can I approach them? You know, and I'm not in a very good state myself. So, for all intents and purposes, that day, I was homeless. So, a hospital, broken man, homeless. They put me in a homeless hostel. Now, I've got a good degree, lived in Sutton, did all right for myself, played sport. 34 years old, sitting in a homeless hostel. 98-bed hostel, surrounded by drug addicts, alcohol addicts, people with significant mental health issues, learning disabilities, and there's me, absolutely broken, just tried to take my own life, sitting in with this lot. Life could not get more surreal, more weird, and you kind of think, well, what's the point? And that's when I took a decision to try and claw my way back. In that hostel, actually, I was quite lucky with the support I got. I had something called cognitive behavioural therapy, which is kind of sort of understanding your triggers, understanding your issues. Did 3 months in the hostel, and they found me a little studio flat in town, one of these high-rise tower blocks. We've all seen them, they're lovely. And I was in one of those. It's okay, there's a roof over my head. And then someone said, go to Birmingham City Mission for a food parcel. So I did, tootled off, and they gave me this food parcel, a couple of bags of stuff. You guys know that's where the food that you give, that's where it comes. And they gave me this food parcel. Lovely, thank you. And I said, you know, do you need any volunteers? And I often reflect back on that day, because what if they'd said no? Where on earth would I be now? They said yes. So I started volunteering, and it gave me a sense of purpose to get up every day, to go and do a day's graft, to go and have a shower in the morning, to go out there and do some good work. And I thought, well, these guys are different. These guys aren't like the guys I've worked with previously in recruitment, you know, these hardcore sales guys, and there's something different about them. They're, you know, they're all Christians. No one ever tried to preach to me. No one ever tried to sort of do that, if that makes sense. You know, they were just lovely in their actions. They were kind. They were non-judgmental about anything I've been through or who I was. And it was about a year later, and we, Birmingham City Mission, have a spring convention at Cars Lane Church. So most of you will know the big church in the city centre. And I was there on the Thursday night. I was there on the last night. And I was only there to pick up the lights and equipment, the sound equipment, so these sort of things. And That was it. That was all I was there for. I got there a bit early, and I sat at the back, and I heard a guy called John Blanchard talk. So some of you might know him, some not, but he was talking. Don't even know what he was talking about. Someone's given me the CD, doesn't matter, it's fine, don't care. Everything hit me that night. Everything made sense that night. I became a Christian from that evening, and that is Easter 2016, and I've been a Christian ever since that night. Everything clicked. All of a sudden, the barrier went down. All of a sudden, things started to make sense for me. And life just became different, and I'll come to that in a second about how, really. So I carried on with Birmingham City Mission. I started to go to church, started to do Bible studies and all those sort of bits and pieces, started to learn along the way. Life became much more peaceful for me. Life became much more simple in a certain sense. I had to leave Birmingham City Mission. There was no jobs. I was only volunteering. I had to go and get a job. And a couple of our customers are support workers. They run these sort of houses. They do support. And I went to work for them. And I was looking after the sort of guys I was looking after. I was within the hostel. So guys with mental health issues, with guys with drug addictions, with alcohol addictions, started to learn the ropes of how you can solve these issues, starting to really understand about these guys' scenarios. So started to do that, and was with that for 6 months, and then got a call from Birmingham City Mission to say, look, there's a job, partly the resource centre, partly the care centre, do you want to come back? And it was the easiest decision I've ever made, to be honest with you, because Christian organisation, as far as I'm concerned, it's the organisation that saved my life. It's the organisation that without them, I probably wouldn't be a Christian. I know it's in Jesus' hands, but reality, you know, it's without them, and you know, I probably wouldn't be, I may not even be alive. You know, genuinely, and I do mean that, and my passion for the charity exists because I go back to that day when I started volunteering, and if they said no, you know, there's a lot of guys I was hanging around with at that time from the hostel who weren't particularly brilliant, and it's very easy to slip, but they said yes, so, you know, we look back on that. And now I spend every day trying to help people that were in my scenario, so people who were depressed, people who are a bit broken, people who've made bad choices along the way, bad decisions along the way. And it's an honour to do it, but I do it because I know that there are solutions. I know we can be saved. I genuinely believe that. And it's not easy coming out as a Christian at a certain age. You know, it's not. It's hard for kids as well, but it's not. You know, all of a sudden you're telling your mates, you know what, I'm a Christian now. having grown up not as a Christian, having never had any of those sort of influences or that life at all, and I'll tell you something that I tell pretty much everyone, and you know, I do this a lot to the homeless guys at the care centre as well. It's made me more peaceful, more understanding, more loving. It's taught me how to forgive myself and others. It's taught me a calmness I never had before. All those wonderful things. If it comes to my dying day, and I'm wrong about it, I'm not, by the way, comes to my dying day, and I'm wrong about it, does it matter? Because I've lived my life by a set of values that we're given to worship him. He doesn't ask a lot of us either. He doesn't ask a lot of us. All he asks is that we worship, we pray. He gives us a book. He gives us a book with a set of rules there. Do more good things than bad. It's really not overcomplicated. Let your guard down and let him in. And that's what I say. It's safest bet in the world. If it comes to my dying day and I'm wrong about it all, fair enough, I've lost nothing. But it is the safest bet in the world because I genuinely believe that all those good things that I'm now doing are through him. And it's there for any of us. It really is. And this is what we try and instill with the guys on a daily basis. It's quite frustrating. Some of them may well be homeless and may well be in awful states most of their life. But reality is, I know, and I'm testament, hopefully, to the fact that there are solutions out there. What I will say is an encouragement to churches, and I always say it, is that every tin of beans you offer, every bag of pasta, every pound that you donate to a Christian charity is going some way to saving someone's life potentially, because without you doing that and without BCM being there, I wouldn't be standing here as a Christian now. So I thank you for that, because you know, it's my firm belief. And if I can offer one person the solutions that I got, then all the better. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to open it up for some questions, if that's okay. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for what you offer to us on a daily basis. Father, we thank you for the set of rules that you offer to us. We thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins, to teach us forgiveness for ourselves and others. And Father, thank you for the change in my life. I'll worship you every day for the change in my life, and may we be able to pass that on to someone else, spread that on to someone else. And Father, we just thank you for the guys here tonight and to be attentive to this word. Father, we ask all these things, and we thank you in your precious son's name. Amen. Amen.